You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What it is, what's up, and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels Anything Goes. That's right, I'm back in the saddle with my homeboy Alex from Vinyls and Violets. What up, Alex?
What's up?
And we're just going to talk some shit about wrestling. We're going to talk about the last couple of weeks that was in wrestling and the stuff we've been digging. What are we doing? Are we doing a top five, or are we just doing a, we'll just talk until we run out of time? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, whenever. We can go to whenever you got to hop off here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, let's try for a top five. I like the idea that. I feel like it makes it a little bit more digestible, and it like kind of reins us in.
Doesn't sound like a ramble.
Bit. Yeah, exactly. So I guess if I had to talk about the first thing, my number one, I guess, would be Bleeding Gums, Wire and Ice. So I had the privilege of doing commentary for that show in Scotland alongside owner and fellow commentator Andrew Crammond. And I convinced you to watch it, which is really cool. It's the third show from Bleeding Gums Wrestling. And the first ever, the main event was the first ever no rope barbed wire death match in Scotland. So I threw you in, no prep, just like, go watch this show, tell me what you think. So what did you think?
Yeah. I thought it was fun. Mm-hmm. I don't mean this in a rude way, but I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did. Mm. So
you're like, well, Rafe clearly has shit taste, so this is gonna
take a lot. No, it takes a lot for me to get into something that I don't know a whole lot of the talent on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did know a handful of talent on this one. I was shocked when certain people came out. I was like, oh, they're so-and-so is.
Yeah. But you're like, yeah, oh, fuck, sure. Lou Nixon's on the show. Big Joe's on the show.
And the new people that I didn't know, I wound up liking. Like,
yeah.
Forgive me for not knowing everyone's name off the top of my head, but the dude that I sent you a picture of that has, like,
it's you and G Mackey.
His hair.
Yeah. He's half green, half. Like,
yeah. That dude was awesome.
Yeah. He is awesome. And he's going to be wrestling at the next show, Death to Art. Yeah. He's wrestling Cody Manhorn. Referee Shiny Shoes.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. And he's really good. Mm. Every single time I see him wrestle, I'm impressed by him. He's great for being a small little dude.
Sure. Yeah. I haven't seen Cody wrestle. I've been meaning to go back and check out, because he did wrestle like on some of the last like ICW shows or whatever. Yeah. I've been meaning to check him out, but they're kind of sitting in my to-do list, you know? What kind of stuff is he? Pretty fast, or?
Yeah, no, he seems to be one of those do it all types. He's just really fun. He's really high energy. So
yeah,
he's also really funny. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, cool.
So he's entertaining. He's a good wrestler. I'm a fan.
Yeah. So, oh, that's great. No, I'll definitely have to check it out. I'm a big fan of his referee work. I would love to check it out. The Bleeding Gums stuff has been like a pleasant surprise right from the start. Like, Andrew was my friend and I told him I'd help him out with it. And then you probably haven't had a chance to watch either of their other two shows. That was their first sort of outdoor show. And then, as you would have noticed by like the main event, you know, it started a hot day, but it's Scotland, so it's pissing rain by the end. Like, you know, everyone's getting soaked and all that kind of stuff. But their last two had been indoors, and he always does really good lighting. You know, it looked like a pro show right from the very beginning. They've had some cool venues, but like all three of the venues he's used have been really, really cool. And so he just had like a really professional camera team and lighting and everything, just had it all together really fast. And so, yeah, it's not really what you see on like a lot of indies these days. Like, you know, people can sometimes bring, you know, bad sound and, you know, just a standard lit room and those kind of things. But he always pays attention to those things. And I think that pays off in the presentation.
I mean, coming from somebody who's never seen it before that just watched the first show and absolutely loved it. So, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Doing something right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because a lot of it, for me, a lot of it is visual. Like, if your show doesn't look good, it doesn't matter the match. Like, my eyes just do not want to see it.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate in some cases.
Yeah. It's the same with me and like with eyes and also with sound as well. Like, if the sound is really bad, like, I really struggle with it too, you know.
I agree. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so we're still, being a commentary team that's on opposite sides of the world, we are still sort of refining how we do that and how that sounds and how that looks and things like that. But we're getting there. I think it's we used a new program with this last one that let us kind of like watch at the same time, opposed to like pressing play at the same time and hoping for the best. Right. And so that came with a little bit, I think the sound quality took maybe a slight hit compared to the other ones, but I still think it stacks up and sounds good.
Yeah, it was fine. And you even mentioned a couple of times that, you know, you weren't there live or anything like that. So
yeah, exactly.
A couple of times you were like, you know, I'm safe at home here in Perth, Australia. Yeah,
exactly. It's pretty funny that I am commentating that show from Perth, Western Australia, but that show was in Perth, Scotland. Like the other Perth, like what's the chances of that? That like I would become friends with a guy who, you know, was into deathmatch wrestling, who would then go on to start his own company, who I would then do commentary for, and then he would run a show in Perth and I live in Perth. Like these like tiny coincidences are just crazy.
I wonder if there's a Perth in the States.
I don't know. I think there's only two. But I'll have a look. Let's have a quick Google. Perth, United States. You know what's crazy? Here in Perth, there's a business called Rafe. I just saw it the other day. It's called like Rafe Consulting or something like that. I don't know what they're about, but I was like, what the fuck? Cease and desist. Perth, New York. Perth is a town in Fulton County, New York, United States.
Okay, that's not far.
Population was 3,646 at the 2010 census. So
it's not big.
Being that it's Perth, I'm sure they got down to business and it's now double that. there you go.
I'll move there so we can all be from Perth.
Yeah. Oh, there's also a Perth, Delaware.
Oh, even better. That's one state over.
Oh, there we go. Okay, let's find out. Perth is an unincorporated community in Newcastle Country, Delaware, United States. Perth is located northwest of Delaware Route 261 between Shipley and Silverside Roads and northeast of Wilmington. It is not to be confused with Perth, Western Australia or Perth, Scotland. Don't confuse it, Alex.
If I was driving through, I'd be like, I'd be very confused, you know.
Yeah. So I've got the coordinates if you need them. I don't know how many people are there, but yeah.
Well, I'm gonna be there soon.
Yeah, exactly. You'll move, or at least run a show there, something like that.
Yeah, there we go.
The area code's 302. If that helps you at all, I just want to quickly. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Does that mean anything?
That must be really close to me.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at population.
My brother lives in Wilmington, so I know pretty much where that is.
Yeah, okay.
He's going to hear this. He listens to every episode. So
yeah, it does not state, so maybe nobody lives there. I don't know. Maybe it's just a barren wasteland. But yeah,
we will shout out to my brother. Shout out to my brother Tony. I'm moving up near you in Perth.
So. Shout out Tony. There you go.
I'll be there. Yeah. There you go.
Absolutely. Oh, now look at this. There's a Quality Inn. There's a Meriton Suites. Or maybe that's Perth, Australia.
I could just live there.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Where is this? Down. Oh, Westchester. Anyway, I am so distracted by Perth, Delaware. I can't not think of Delaware from Wayne's World, you know, when it's like, yeah, I'm in Delaware.
Delaware's not.
So anyway, thank you for watching. You should definitely check out the other shows because they did a – like the second show was a tournament for their title, which Michael Caden won. The United Kingdom, what do they call it? Is the United Kingdom deathmatch title? I think he calls it that. Yeah, exactly. He got to name it.
I've seen that dude before.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of the deathmatch outlaws with like Joe and Danny Darko and all those guys.
Yeah, he's like the sad boy or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Big sad boy.
Yeah.
He comes out to got to get through this. It's pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a lovely man too. And then And then their next shows they've got coming up, you're going to see the likes of, we mentioned Cody Manhorn, but also Matt Tremont, Casey Cattell, Joel Bateman. There's quite a few names coming over to Bleeding Gums. August 12th.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I've seen the posters for those little graphics, I should say, for that show. That looks awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So he's been busy. So check that out on IWTV, everybody. It's a good thing. And if we were just going to talk about one match on that show, it would definitely be the main. That no rope barbed wire match was crazy. There was one spot was where awesome. I literally thought Alton Thorne was going to die. Like, his head was so close to that post. I freaked out. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. I want to go back and rewatch that. I definitely watched it, but it was a good one. I'd like to show somebody at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I should actually go watch it again, because the only time I watched it was while I was doing commentary for it. So it would actually be nice just to sit there and sort of watch the match, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I have to listen to myself, which would be weird, but yeah. All right. So what's your number one then? What else have you been watching?
I watched outside of AEW. Mm-hmm. I watched the NXT. NXT's been pretty cool lately. That little like crossover stuff that they've got going on with TNA has been really fun.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I haven't watched NXT in so long. You were telling me you were pretty excited because there was like a debut, right?
Yeah, Julia debuted. I'm a big fan of hers. I've been a fan of hers for a little bit now, and seeing her over in NXT is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She is a phenomenal wrestler and is going to go really far in that company.
Yeah, it was really funny. I was watching it with my cousin at his house, and I just got done talking about how I was a fan of hers, and he had never heard of her before.
Yeah.
And not 5 minutes later, some music, you know, her music hits, and I didn't know who it was at the time.
Yeah.
And she comes out, and I'm like, no way. I thought I predicted it.
So. Yeah, you were like, I was literally just talking about this person.
Yeah, I spoke it into existence. So.
That's like, so good.
Yeah, he's like, you heard spoilers. And I was like, no, this is just cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Now, but was the person she came out against the NXT Women's Champion? So she's kind of straight in that kind of main event of NXT kind of vibe?
Yeah, with Roxanne Perez. Mm. So she'll be, I think, facing her. Oh, yeah, they announced the match for, I guess NXT is moving to the CW network.
Okay.
Whenever they debut on that network is, I guess they're going to have some big show for it, and that's going to take place on that show.
Yeah, okay. So NXT is moving to CW, and WWE is moving to Netflix, right?
I'm not sure. I don't watch a whole lot of WWE. I just like NXT has been really fun.
Yeah, cool.
I watched WWE on the little like YouTube top 10.
Yeah, okay.
You know, just so I could speed run the episode. Mm. Or I'll watch a full match on YouTube if it's cool enough. I'm watching all the Uncle Howdy stuff. That's been really fun.
Yeah, I have a mate who said that. He wants me to get more into it. Sorry, Ryan. I'm trying, man. so I'm just trying to fit it in. But I gotta be honest, and I told you this before, like on the last episode, whenever I do the G1 and all the coverage that's involved with that over on the Ichiban Sweetcast, it takes up a lot. And then afterwards I need a break from wrestling because I've done, you know, a podcast for essentially every night of the G1. And that is a lot of fucking work. And so, yeah, I was like, I just need to not really watch anything. But I did, I mean, you mentioned it. I did watch AEW All In. I super liked it. And then I sort of did speed runs of the two Dynamites as well. I definitely watched stuff, but I just sort of skipped through anything I wasn't really interested in. But there was actually so much to be interested in. So, we can talk about that a little bit if you like. Obviously, All In was like a week ago. It feels like it was a fucking million years ago, but it really wasn't that long at all. What did you think of the show?
It was cool. I mean, I don't – when wrestling gets a little away from me, you know, it was about two, I guess it was 2 weeks ago at this point. I can,
yeah, wow. Some specifics, sure.
But I know I liked it. Uh-huh. I should have went back and before we started talking and looked at the card again.
No, that's okay. I'm getting the card up now and I can just kind of talk to you about it as we go. We don't need to run down the whole thing, but
no, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a good show, but it wasn't like a, we need to talk about every moment.
No. And there's plenty of podcasts that literally like dedicate their entire existence to doing that. So that's totally fine.
I don't think anyone cares about how I feel about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
the whole show, I'd say.
But yeah, I mean, we can just kind of give a whether we dug it or not. There was the trios match at the start, which was like the Patriarchy, Bang Bang Gang, House of Black, and Blackpool Combat Club. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, I love the House of Black. I love Brody King. Yeah, that's my dude right there.
Yeah, exactly. So. They were sick. And yeah, I really enjoy the Patriarchy, so I have no problem with fucking them picking up the. Did they win that? I don't remember.
No, Blackpool Combat Club.
That's right. Blackpool Combat Club won that. Yeah, cool. And then there was the Women's World Championship match. Timeless Toni Storm versus the Glamour Mariah May. It was really good. It was really hard hitting. And I felt like it really served to like Mariah May has been really good as sort of like Toni Storm's understudy, but she hasn't had heaps and heaps of time in the ring. And so it really served, I think, to like get her over as like somebody that can beat somebody like Toni Storm. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. What has been sending me this week, and it has set me to like actively unfollowing pages, like don't show me this page on Facebook and shit like that every time I see it,
right,
is just like fucking, I use these fucking little bunnies here to say wrestling journalists, but like people who have these pages and Facebook groups and things like that, that just fucking talk shit like they're experts, these poorly worded BuzzFeed style attention grabbing posts, and they just fucking send me. Like I read one the other day and it was like Julia debuted in NXT, right? But like they're supposed to be informing people about it, but they're like, Julia has won many championships in her time in wrestling. Just before she debuted in NXT, worked for Marigold for extra money before she could make it in NXT or something like that. And it's like, A, you don't know what company she worked for before. You've done the loosest Google I've ever fucking heard. Like, you don't list any of the championships she's won, any of the accomplishments, the tournaments, you know, any of that stuff. And you're just pretending to be something in this poorly worded. And I'm getting fucking angry. Now I can't even word my fucking angry response. But you know what I'm trying to say. Like, this absolutely fucking half-assed typed up shit. And it just makes me so mad. And I'm like, I need all of it out of my life. Like, I just can't see it anymore. Like, I just can't. I hate it. I
can't stand negativity when it comes to wrestling. It's like, bro, just turn it off. Like,
yeah,
exactly. If you don't like it, that's fine. But like, these people get on Twitter and they involve their entire personality around hating one or the other,
company,
wrestling as a whole or anything.
So annoying.
Like, just go get another hobby or something.
Like, yeah, just like who fucking cares? Like, yeah, and it just like drives me crazy. I don't actually care what their opinion is. I just care that they exist and it annoys me. But like, exactly. I just need to stop like even giving it any fucking oxygen. I never respond or anything. I don't even go on Twitter.
Oh,
like,
no.
Fuck it at all. I don't care. All right.
I'll sit here and say I don't care, but then I'll think about it forever and just get enraged.
Exactly. Just chew on it. Okay. Run it. Just quick speed run. There was obviously the Jericho hook thing. I had no interest in this whatsoever. It went for 1,000 years. Meltzer gave it like 20 stars, but it was fucked. Tag team championship match three-way. I think I was like collecting the pizza around this point, so I didn't super care about it. Though I did think, I do sort of like what's going on with the Acclaimed at the moment. I feel like they're looking good. And Max Caster especially has really upped his game. And I felt like this was a fun match now that I think about it, when they were like doing different combinations to do the finishes. I thought it was quite good. Like, yeah, so it was fun.
I like when they put a little edge on their characters, and it's worked a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not just like the fun tag team anymore.
Yeah. And I do like that. Exactly. They've kind of seriesed it up a bit and it works. Then there was the Casino Gauntlet match. I remember loving this. Like each debut, because I didn't know how it worked. I was like, how many people? And my mate Trav's just like, it just keeps going until somebody wins. And I was like, what? And then the debuts like kept like, like the entrance kept getting better. And I'm like, oh, well, they can't fucking top this guy. Biggest pop of the night though for us, Jeff Jarrett coming out. We were like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, I've never cheered for Jeff Jarrett in my life. But after that Owen Hart promo, you know, when they're like, Jeff, we just need you to go in and fucking be the baby face against Hangman here. And he just like cuts that pro. I'm just so about Jeff Jarrett. And so, yeah, I really
had that banger. Did you see that banger match that he had? I think, was it with Daniel Bryan where it was like a no holds barred match or something like that? And they just went at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a good match. That was awesome.
He's just killing it.
Fighting all over the arena. Yeah. Yeah. It was sick. I love that.
Exactly. And then like Ricochet fucking debuts and fucking, yeah, Hangman's there and all this fucking shit. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was super fun.
Nigel McGuinness.
Oh, Nigel McGuinness was a huge pop for us. And then cool. Zack Sabre Jr., Nigel McGuinness, like, and just at the end, all the, like, they did the thing like they did in the tag team match where you kind of get to see everybody do their signature shit, but that's what you want to see. It's fucking awesome. So,
yep.
Yeah, absolutely. They did the AEW American Championship match. I thought that was really good from both guys. And, you know, you don't always see it from MJF, but, like, Will Ospreay showed like how talented MJF really is. You know what I mean? He kind of plays it down, but he's a super good wrestler.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was the TBS championship match. I didn't super care about this. I don't know. I'm a bit off Brit. I don't really care.
Me neither. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Love everything that Jack Perry's doing at the moment. Love his new belt. Love the scapegoat. Love the bus. Like, just he's one of my favorites in AEW right now.
Oh yeah. He grew on me. I didn't know what to think at first, but yeah, he's the shit.
Well, that they've just done a great job rehabilitating him, right? Because he was stuck with a pretty cheesy indie gimmick, you know, like the Jungle Boy thing. And it's like, how do you get him out of that? And how do you, like, find an edge and things like that? It's ironic that it came through, like, a real-life fucking shoot fight with CM Punk. But that's the kind of stuff that if you leverage it in the right way, you can make it, you know? And then sending him to Japan and, like, putting him with House of Torture and, or, like, just every step that has been made with Jack Perry has been the correct one. And then him leading up to challenging Danielson is really cool. And Danielson's whole stipulation that, like, I'm retiring if I ever lose this championship puts stakes on everything he does because you just don't know when he's going to go. You know what I mean? He's retired before and been gone forever. So, like, when will it happen?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Really good. And then though that match did feel pretty quick, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had this conversation with somebody else. Some of the matches towards the end there felt a little quick. But
yeah, maybe they'll run out of time or whatever. And then Strickland and Danielson, I also really enjoyed. I thought it was so fucking good. And using it to sort of parlay Swerve into the Hangman beef, but not really having Hangman like physically put his hands on him or anything like that. They're doing a great job. And we'll talk a little bit more about AEW stuff, but they're doing a great job of like having the feud be both guys are escalating. And both guys are in the wrong, and you can kind of just pick whichever, like whichever guy you want to be can be your hero in that rivalry. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like Swerve is not a good person in it, but then neither's Hangman, you know? And so, and they're both just like continuously escalating. I think I really
I'm enjoying it. I like it a lot. Yeah.
Did you see Danielson winning?
I didn't know what to think. I was like, this could go either way.
Yeah. I think I thought this is the time when he sort of fucks over Swerve and like Danielson, you know, Danielson's trotted the kids out and thing. I'm like, he might tick this off, but it could also legitimately just be his last match. You know, that's the kind of motherfucker he is. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, that match was awesome though. One I need to go back and rewatch. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my number two if we're going to try and stick to our number scheme. So I did Bleeding Gums. You did.
Like show or moment wise?
Oh, yeah. No, and you spoke about NXT. Then I spoke about AEW All Elite. So we're up to your number two. Jesus, we're already failing at our own premise.
I really enjoyed, I guess it was 2 weekends ago. Yeah, it was the same weekend as AEW. GCW's homecoming weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I haven't watched GCW in a while. How was it?
That was really cool. Saturday night show, or the first show, I should say, was really good. The second show was fine too, but that whole thing was cool. Mm-hmm. And it was Drew Parker's return.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
He was supposed to wrestle Nick Gage. Mm. Nick Gage, something happened. Gage couldn't wrestle.
Shocking.
I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what happened. There was a point where Lauderdale hit the ring and he's like, sorry guys, Gage can't wrestle. I don't know when he's going to wrestle again. Blah, 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 and gave this weird speech. And then Drew Parker came out for the match, and Gage got replaced with Brandon Kirk, who had already had a match earlier.
Okay.
But Kirk and Parker tore it up.
Oh, no doubt. Like, if you're going to tap somebody on the shoulder, it's Brandon Kirk. He's going to fucking kill it with everybody. He's so good, man.
Yeah. I guess whatever happened backstage, I don't want to like speculate and act like I know what I'm talking about here, but it had to have happened like very last minute because, like I said, Kirk had already wrestled that night.
Yeah. Because they would have saved him.
They must have been panicking for a replacement. And Kirk was like, dude, I'll do it.
Yeah.
That's just my guess, but he killed it because it was him and Casey versus the Los Mestizos at the beginning of the card.
Yeah.
And that match was cool too, but yeah, that whole show was cool. That had Big F and Joe versus John Wayne Murdoch on it. That was cool. And the main event. Oh, dude, the main event was awesome. The main event was Janela, Mance Warner, and Blake Christian in a triple threat ladder match. And it was just kind of like one of those run-in after run-in overdone spot.
Yeah, the Janela special, like the last time we spoke about GCW, where he suddenly runs in and then fucking Mance is there and then fucking like
it was very similar. And then like now Megan Bain is like all in it helping Joey Janela, and she climbs up to knock Blake Christian off this giant ladder, and Shane Mercer climbs up to help Blake Christian, and he does that moonsault and battery off the top of the ladder to her. It was nuts.
Like the hugest spot of the match, and neither of them are even in the match. Like.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think
SDL wind up destroying Jimmy Lloyd through a bunch of tables because he was out there to help Mance. You know, he's part of that whole crew. It was nuts. It was insane. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that. Makes no sense.
No, but that's when wrestling is the best, when it doesn't make sense. Like, it's awesome.
I mean, it makes a little sense.
Yeah,
I'll give them that much. At least everyone's out there helping like who they're supposed to be helping. It's not just random run-ins.
Yeah.
And then the best part about it is, you know who comes in and helps? Eventually, Effie comes in to help to screw over Mance Warner because they just got done.
Yeah.
You know, beefing. Uh-huh. Who comes out to help Mance Warner win? JBL.
Oh, you were telling me this. So JBL was like apparently bought part of AAA or whatever. And then now he just came in and did like the exact run-in that Jeff Jarrett did like a year or two ago, where it's like man in trench coat attacks. But you know what?
Still laying in those clotheslines, though.
Man. Oh, yeah. I mean,
he hit Effie hard with them.
Yeah. Well, that's the clothesline from hell. That's what it is. But like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
How funny. But I love that they're like, and they always do this at GCW, like to their credit, they're always like, we send them home happy. Like the main event is always absolute bullshit. But if you're there and you're fucking drinking a few beers or whatever, and you're at the side of the ring and all this shit's going out, you're walking out stoked. You know, you walk out absolutely stoked. It's not like a bullshit roll up fucking finish where nothing happened, or like a no contest or something. They're always giving you something, you know.
Yeah, it's always a fun time. I was supposed to have gone, but I wound up not making it. But it was still a fun time watching it at home.
Yeah.
So
that's fun. That's really fun. What's your favorite GCW show? Do you have one?
Shit. Man. Probably Run Ricky Run. That was my first time ever at the Showboat.
Yeah, that was so really good.
A little bit to me. But there were some shows before they started going to the Showboat that happened at the Voltage Lounge in Philly. And that's when I first started going to GCW.
Yeah.
I wasn't around during the, what they call the Howl days. I wasn't there. I'm not an OG guy like some of those dudes. Mm-hmm. But we were at some of those Voltage Lounge shows. And that venue was so small. I don't know if you've ever watched any of those. But
yeah, I love those shows. Like when that original Ricky Shane Page, like Nick Gage rivalry started up, and there was that fucking chair massacre, like in the fucking ring.
Oh, I threw one of those chairs.
Oh, yeah, what? Yeah. Did you really? That's amazing.
Yeah, that was one of the first GCW shows I ever went to, and I was still kind of like in my own little bubble because I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
And everyone started throwing chairs, and I just looked at my friend, and I just picked up this chair in front of me and shrugged my shoulders and just chunked that thing.
That's so funny. But yeah, all those kind of shows were really cool. I loved that venue. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, the ring takes up the whole venue.
Yeah.
You can't even walk across the venue. You have to go out one door and then come inside the other door to get from one side of the venue to the other because the ring is that.
Wow. Yeah, that's so dope. And then they had that one where, well, when Ricky became champion, it was like a weird schmoz where like AJ fucking beats Nick Gage, but then because Nick Gage had said that he could have a title shot anytime, like just because he said it, Ricky then cashes this.
That one wasn't the Voltage though.
Yeah. Where was that? That was
I'm thinking that might have been like Chicago or something.
Yeah.
I wasn't
there
for that.
But yeah, that was on the floor, I remember, or something like that. And then Ricky becomes the champ or whatever in a roundabout kind of way. My favorite is probably still the first one I ever saw, which is Two Cups Stuffed.
That was good.
That was in Vegas. Ironically, I was in Vegas when that happened. Like that was the Double or Nothing weekend, but I didn't fucking know about GCW at that time. I found out about that show maybe a week later and watched it. And I was like, fuck, that was so cool. I wish I knew that company existed. But the main event was Effie. I think it was Effie's first death match versus Nick Gage. And it was like so good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I kind of have a similar story like that. Like right when I was getting into indie wrestling, me and some friends went up to New York for WrestleMania weekend. Mm. We didn't go to Mania. We found out about like a couple indie shows that we thought sounded cool, but I didn't know what GCW was at the time. But there was so much shows going on that, you know, that at that time that I wish I would have gone to, but I just didn't know about them because I wasn't in that loop yet.
Yeah, like, sure.
Orange Cassidy ran a show that weekend. And the funny part about it is the show that we went up for is I have some friends that are really big into like the Black Craft clothing brand.
Yeah.
So Black Craft, do you remember when they try to run shows? Yeah.
Didn't they have like a very high budget, very spectacular looking show or two that they ran before they like went belly up or something? Like they had like unfortunate show that was going to start at midnight or something and going to end up starting super late, and it was just like, and it had like the pinhead guy on it or something, like
the first show that they ran was in Pittsburgh. That's about 6.5 hours from me. We went to that show. That's the farthest I've ever driven for a show.
How far is that drive?
That's about 6.5 hours. That show was awesome, their first one. And I think the main event was like John Morrison, Johnny Blackcraft, Brody King, and it was him, Brody King, and Jimmy Havoc.
Okay.
But before he was, you know, exiled from wrestling existence.
Yeah.
But that was a good show. Then they wanted to go to another one, which was the one in New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that ended them, that we were there, and it was a shit show. So if you go back and watch that show, you can see me sitting front row, and we're just like wondering what's going on. They started pushing us out of the venue before the show ended.
What?
Yeah.
What? So what happened? Why was it so fucked? Do you know?
So the first match that they had was a chain match, and it was supposed to be G Raver versus Schlack.
Yeah.
And I think that match happened, but it took them forever to set the chains up. So it ended it started super late.
Yeah.
And then they still ran these like weird, like, what do you call it? Storylines that they could have just like cut, you know?
Yeah.
To save time. And it wound up going so late that the main event was, speaking of somebody else that's been exiled from all of wrestling, David Starr versus
You also mentioned Jay Raver. There's lots of exiles on this show.
Yeah. The whole show, it doesn't exist anymore, and half of the wrestlers also don't either.
Yeah.
It was David Starr versus John Morrison, and as soon as the bell rings for the match, they run at each other, and Morrison rolls up Starr and just 1-2-3 real fast so that everyone can leave.
Was everybody in the crowd like, yay, this is over?
Yeah, it was like 3 a.m.
Hang on 1 second, bud. I just got to pause.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, I'm sure that everybody in the crowd was like just relieved to leave at that point. Like, what time in the morning were we talking about?
It had to have been like getting close to 3 a.m.
Yeah, so
and they still wound up running this little segment where, yeah, the dude that plays Pinhead, I can't remember his name. He was like the preacher or something like that.
Yeah,
and he's up on stage and he's beefing with Matthew Justice at the time.
Okay.
And Justice comes out from behind and cuts his throat, and it like Guar style. Blood starts going everywhere.
What? So Matthew Justice commits a murder on the show.
He kills him at the show.
This is amazing. And,
I have a picture somewhere. This is probably like 2019.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And, and I have a picture somewhere because we were front row, and I got drenched in that blood.
Oh wow!
It's like 3 a.m.
Was it like a hose? Like,
yeah. And I have a picture of myself somewhere because we're like trying to get an Uber back to the Airbnb that we stayed in, and everyone's like, all my friends are okay, but I'm like bleeding, and all and this guy in this Airbnb or this Uber is just like, what the hell?
What happened to
it
this?
Was like, it was an insane time because it's like 3:30 in the morning.
Were you, so come the end of this show, how are you feeling about it? Were you like, this was fucking awesome, or are you like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, a little bit of both, because I didn't know like that, you know, I didn't know that they were in trouble for overrunning their venue going over their time, I should say. But
so that's why the venue was like trying to kick people out, because the venue was supposed to close. They're like, we're not paying staff past this point. Like, the whole thing is supposed to be over.
Yeah. And the show before it was Joey Janela's Spring Break. And I think that might've gone over its time a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
So Blackcraft just started super late and didn't do anything to cut some shit out.
Yeah, where they should have been like, you know what? The chain match is no longer a chain match or whatever. Like,
exactly.
Let's not have the setup on this anymore. Like, it's just slacking that
and
on more
the theatrics.
Theatrics. So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and like then, they never ran another show after that, right?
No, that was it.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it sounds like they had some cool ideas, but obviously they didn't really have the fucking organizational skills to
the biggest idea I really liked was the fact that they were going to have a band play it at every show, like a pretty popular band.
Yeah,
the one that happened in Pittsburgh that we went to had Falling in Reverse play. I'm not a huge fan of theirs or anything, but that's still a name.
Kind of a big name too. I mean, then they would have been a big name. I'm not a huge fan of theirs, but I kind of like love that like rap rock era they were in. I don't really super care about what they're doing now. Like, there's some cool stuff, but there was a real like cringy era that I love, like, just because it's so fucking shit amazing.
I can't
stand
that dude. I can't do it.
I kind of like him. He's an absolute troll.
Yeah, I don't think he's a troll in a good way.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. But yeah, I guess, was that your number two? It was.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to make it.
Three
to
or
five.
Two, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Maybe it's top five total. Maybe that's our out here. So maybe we've got one more.
Maybe we can both give, how about we both give one more?
Well, look, I reckon we'll just make them bang the last two Dynamites that have happened. Just to really touch on some of the story beats that's happening, because after All In, they're really kind of cranking up with some cool stuff. So John Moxley has returned, but as like New Japan John Moxley. He's coming out to the New Japan music. He's going by Death Rider, which is his moniker in New Japan. He's got Marina Shafir with him. He's kind of got a bit more of a heely sort of vibe. What do you think about what's going on with John Moxley?
I don't know. That thing he said where he's like, this company is no longer yours or something, but he said it to, who did he say that to?
Well, he just said it to Schiavone because he was like interviewing him, but he was more meaning, I guess, all the officials that are AEW.
Oh, okay. In my mind, he said it to him. I was like, I don't think this is his company.
No, it's just because he was holding the mic. Poor Tony always cops it, but he's just the fucking go-to.
Yeah, but I don't know. There was that, you know, leaked picture with Shane McMahon or something like that not long ago, and I think maybe he's involved somehow. Who knows?
I would not be interested in that.
Shane?
Yeah.
I don't mind Shane.
I don't mind Shane, but do we need him? Like, do we need fucking Shane O'Mac? Do we need a McMahon in AEW? You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
you're not. Oh, trust me. I'm not sitting here in favor for it or anything. I just wouldn't care.
Yeah, yeah, so. Exactly. I mean, yeah, I have definitely had times when I have enjoyed Shane O'Mac. There's no issue there.
I like Shane.
Yeah.
He didn't give a shit, man. He would jump off anything.
I know. All those memes where it's like stairs were invented in 1842, 1841, and it's him just going off the top of the side.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, I think I'm open to what Moxley's doing. Without talking too much behind the baseball kind of speak, I know John Moxley had a big falling out with AEW and with Tony Khan. To do with his like booking during the his holding of the IWGP title, because he was supposed to go to the G1, and that was all agreed on, and then Tony kind of pulled the rug out from under him, and Moxley was not impressed in any way, which is why he hasn't been on TV. But I guess considering the presentation stuff now, they've just gone, look, let's make you happy, let's do whatever you want to do, and he's clearly going with his original vision for what he wanted to be. So, yeah, we'll see what that is. And I know he's a big fan of Marina Shafir's. So he's taken this opportunity to elevate her.
Elevate her, yeah.
And obviously do some stuff with Darby. I think he's really like, well, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want and elevate who I want and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – yeah, I'm very interested to see where that's going.
Yeah. I liked his interaction with Jack Perry as well. Did you see that?
Yeah, sweet where boy. He's like, no matter what they say about you, you're a sweet little boy.
It's like you're a sweet kid.
Sweet kid, yeah.
Sweet little boy is a little bit of a different sentence.
Yeah, that sounded weird.
Yeah, it did sound weird. And then, yeah, we briefly touched on it, but I feel like the Swerve and Hangman stuff really fucking started to escalate quite dramatically, and I love a good house burning. Like, I feel like that was fucking awesome. I love that shit.
Yeah, I've got a couple friends that are like casually watch it and usually just keep up with it because of me talking about it, and I texted them all last night and was like, yo, Hangman burnt down Swerve's house.
I love how like the setup, they just set it all up in one episode. So it begins with Swerve going, I just want to let everybody know that because of like the people, I was able to buy my childhood home, and shows all these memories and sets up the home. I'm like, why are you showing me the home? Like, why does this matter? By the end of 2 hours, that home is fucking ashes.
I just like the idea that Hangman was sitting at his house watching AEW or something and was like, that's where he lives, and then just drove all the way there.
Yeah, exactly. he was like, okay, motherfucker. Like, either that, or I like to feel like he was tailing Swerve, in the way that Swerve was like, I watched you outside your house and shit. I like to think that since the last Dynamite, Hangman's just been tailing him. Like, just waiting for, like, an opportunity. He's like, how can I fuck up this motherfucker's life? And then he was sitting over there hiding in the bushes watching all this bullshit and him do this big speech, and he's like, oh, I got something for you. But, yeah, so I really enjoyed it. I love, like, obviously the type of wrestling I like. I do, you know, prefer the more sports-based kind of way that New Japan will present it. But when I like my American wrestling, I like it when it's this. I like when it's super ridiculous and big budget and cars are crashing through things and houses are exploding and, you know, all that kind of stuff. The more of that, the better for me.
Yeah, someone's just burning someone's house down and, like, it's just work. Like,
yeah, it's just totally fine.
No cops are called.
Nah.
It's just settled in a match. That's it. I wish I could do that.
He's not going to press charges because he wants to wrestle him. Why would he send him to prison when he can make him pay himself?
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could go to my coworker's house, and I shouldn't say that on a podcast, actually.
Do not say that. You work too close to a prison. You may never get out.
That's true. I won't have to go far if they get me. Just throw me over the fence.
Absolutely. And I guess what's the other thing? There's been a few fun things going on. I've really enjoyed the shows. I guess the last thing maybe to talk about would be Garcia's promo with MJF, I thought was really good.
I just like how there are so many of these, you know, beefs or whatever. They just talk and talk and talk. They're just like on site. They just see each other and they're just running through the crowd trying to fight.
Yeah.
I like that. It's funny.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely love it. I love as well that like they have like pre-tapes and stuff, like with the Danielson finished his talk and then Jack Perry video, he's like, I'm going to do an open challenge. Anybody come in first in, first out. A video comes up from Jack Perry. He's in a well-lit room with the fucking title and everything like that. And you're like, oh, he's coming live. But that was actually a pre-tape because he came from under the ring and attacked him from behind. Exactly, yeah. So Jack Perry's like, when that motherfucker gets in the ring next week, I'm sure he's going to say some shit like this. And then I'm going to play this video and then I'm going to attack him from behind.
Yeah. So I have a quick question. So what exactly did Christian win in that gauntlet?
I think he won like a right to challenge type scenario. Like
So it's just an anytime thing. It wasn't
like
number one contenders, because I thought he was the next one up, but
so did I. But I guess it's like a cash in at some point type thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he'll probably wind up doing something during this little match so that neither Jack Perry or Daniel Bryan take an L.
Yeah, exactly. So, or, you know, depending on how quick they want to get Danielson out, like Christian is a great person that you could just put the title on, not devalue anybody and, you know, have him run his mouth about people's dead dads for a few weeks until he like is very beatable and beaten by somebody, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He could be a very good like next champion, because then you could even if Danielson is like shoot going to retire, you could kind of have him pull some shit, but then Danielson still beats the fuck out of him and waves goodbye to the fans kind of thing. Like you could sort of have that moment and not have him have to walk out the loser, you know.
Yeah, I do like the idea of Daniel Bryan, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
Jesus. dropping the title and ending his career, dropping it to someone who was wrestling when he was a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how it works. Absolutely. So yeah, I think they're onto some good stuff. I think there's some fun things happening at the moment. So plenty of fun wrestling.
Absolutely.
Just gotta keep fitting it in. And then what else is happening in wrestling? The other thing is I've got my first Dude Where's My Ring show in a while next week. So I'll be live on commentary. Yeah, this day next week. So
you go there for that. Like that's there, right?
Yeah, that's in person. That's like in a brewery in Perth, call it on the fly. Yeah, it's heaps of fun.
Maybe I'll come out.
Yeah. Fly over.
Yeah, no big deal.
No big deal. It'll only cost you like $2,500, something like that. Yeah.
I've got like 25 cents in my bank account.
Yeah, maybe not the move. But yeah, so I've got a packed calendar. I've got to figure out how we're going to do some recordings and stuff coming up. So I've got Dude Where's My Ring next Friday. Then I've got I'm going to Melbourne for a few days with my wife. We're going to see the band Sim, if you're familiar with them, Japanese band.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun, weekend away. And then back for a couple of weeks, then the Discord reunion show. So my old band getting back together, playing for the first time in like 7 years. So I got to do that.
Yeah.
And then the week after that, I go to Japan for 2 weeks. So...
Ooh.
And then I'm back for no joke. I'm a fucking menace. 5 days. And then I go to Adelaide. So I go to South Australia for a long weekend to go to this Froth and Fury festival, where it's like a beer festival with bands. Nice. And also catch a sideshow as well. So Coheed and Cambria and Periphery are playing like the night before. And then it's like an all day festival with beer. Like
that's cool. Do you like Periphery?
I do. I bang them all the time? Absolutely not. But they're the same way. Tracks
I like. They're from right down the road. They're from right down the road here. Like maybe about 45 minutes away. So.
Mm-hmm. Same with Coheed. Like there's albums I like, but they're not everything. But it was a cool opportunity to catch them Like, so yeah, exactly.
I've never been a big fan of Coheed, but their newer stuff is really catchy. Mm. I like it a lot.
Yeah, cool. I'll have to give their new album a listen or whatever. It's been a while. Cool. Like, I was like the Welcome Back Suffering type era, like when that came out, that kind of concept album. I haven't really listened to them since then. I know
it's like a little more poppy and catchy.
Yeah. I should ask my boy The Struggles for some recommendations. I'm pretty sure he's a huge Coheed fan. I'm pretty sure that's his shit. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll send you a couple of their newer songs that I really enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, cool. No, let's do that. Everybody listen to those bands. Let us know what you think. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been super fun.
Heck yeah.
This is it. That's it. Anything goes.
That's it.
And anything goes out the door because I need to get out of here. So everybody out there, check out at Faces Feels Cast. Where do they find you, Alex? Tell them the deal.
At Vinyls and Violence on Instagram. And if you want to add me on anything else, just hit the link tree.
Absolutely. All right. Well, there you go, people. Check it out. And remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Peace. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Countout Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast, and you can check out the Countout Network and all our sister shows over there at Countout Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
DeathmatchWorldwide.com, the official online merchandise store that is only for Deathmatch Wrestling. Featuring official t-shirts from No Peace Underground, John Wayne Murdoch, Akira, Madman Pondo, Zona 23, Neil Diamond Cutter, G Raver, Schlack, Necro Butcher, and many more. If you are a deathmatch wrestler, promotion, manager, or platform, and are interested in joining the web store, send us an email to deathmatchworldwide@yahoo.com. Deathmatchworldwide.com for the final view.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Neitzy and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.